Welcome to the Extra Point Podcast. Glad you're tuning in today. It's Tuesday, February the 4th, 2025. My name's Todd. I'm one of the pastors at First Family Church, and I'm really glad you're listening to this episode of the Extra Point Podcast. It's where we provide some extra insight, additional observation, further application to the text and from the message which we preached the previous Sunday. We did begin a new series last Sunday. It's through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. It will take us most of 2025. And we covered the first seven verses. And of course, within those seven verses, there's a beautiful word. It's the word chose. And it speaks of how God chose us. And of course, that's a word used throughout the New Testament, especially in books like Ephesians, also in 2 Peter, and of course here in 1 Thessalonians, and it refers to that of predestination or that of election. Some see those words as different. I think they speak to the same concept, but it is a term used to indicate God's sovereign choice before the foundation of the world of a people unto himself. Now, when we think about that concept, and we did refer to it in the message, but we didn't spend a lot of time on it. But there are a lot of questions come up. And one of the questions that usually comes up, and it's usually, first of all, stated as a rebuttal, and that is the question of, well, if God chooses, if election is a theological concept in which God elects a people, then are you saying, Todd, or is the Bible then saying that we don't have a choice? If it's God's choice, do we have a choice? And here's the question or the rebuttal. Don't you know that I have a free will? And so free will always comes up when you speak about this theological and biblical concept of election or God's choice. People want to make sure that we know, well, you know, I've got a free will, so I have a choice. And I want to ask this question today on the podcast and hopefully answer it. Do we really have a free will? I think that's a legitimate question when people give a rebuttal to the concept, the theological doctrine of election or of God's choosing. When the rebuttal is, but I've got a free will, perhaps we should ask this question, do we really have a free will? So here's some of my perspective on this question. It's been something I've wrestled with for years, and I'm by no means an expert, but I have had to wrestle with how do I answer this question and how do I even personally reconcile the fact that we do make choices, we have agency, and yet I am not convinced yet and don't believe personally that we have a free will. And the key word or the word that's in question, I think, is the word free, all right? Because the Bible is blatantly clear that we're saved by God's will, by his choice, by his work. In fact, let me read for you John 1:13, which I think is a beautiful verse that answers the question, but I'll shed some more light on perhaps the full context here. John 1:13 simply says this, that all who did receive him, to them he gave the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born. Now catch these next few words, not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. So it is God's will by which and through which we're saved. And yet we know that we do believe, as this verse said, and we decide to believe, we make a choice to believe, we have agency that we exercise in that moment of belief. So Todd, how do you reconcile these? Well, I think the key is to realize that our will isn't free. And this is the, I guess you could say, the distinction I draw and the answer I give to the rebuttal, which is, well, Todd, don't you know I've got a free will? I can make my own choices. You see, I don't believe there is such a thing as a free will. Now, that doesn't mean I don't believe we have a will. I most certainly do. I believe we have a will, we have agency, we have actual, literal choices in real space and time. But there is no decision, there is no choice, there is no act of the will that's free. Here's what I mean. Often we think of free will as this space in which there's no influence, like a vacuum, or you could call it like a neutral zone. And so we have this free will that's floating around in some neutral zone and in some space where there's no influence, and then we can decide how we use it. But the problem is there is no such thing as a neutral zone or a free space by which our will and in which our will exists. That is not true. Here's why. Our will is always being acted upon by some type of influence. Now, let me simplify this. It's either being acted upon by the influence of our depravity, our sinful nature, which we have from birth forward, or it's being acted on by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And once it's been regenerated, it's being acted upon by the will of God, the influence of the Holy Spirit. So you could say it like this: our will, our decision-making ability, our, and I'll even use the word right or freedom, you could say that even, to make choices, is only free to the extent that we make every choice under the influence of either our old nature or our new nature. There is no zone in which one of those two isn't in existence. No human being lives without one of those two. And so, before we're born again, as John 3 talks about, all of our decisions to some degree are influenced by our old nature. So by nature, they're not free. They're being acted upon, influenced by our depravity, our sinful nature. That fact alone means that will, in those moments and years, that will is not free. By the same token, once we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, our eyes are opened and we believe and exercise the faith He gives us to believe, and we trust in Christ and God saves us. We have regeneration and then justification and conversion, adoption, all these theological concepts that make up this one moment we call salvation. That happens because at some point the Holy Spirit opened our eyes, acted upon our nature, regenerated us, gave us faith to believe, gave us the ability to see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. So He acted upon us, and then due to His influence, we believed. Now, in that moment, it looks like we freely made a choice, and we did in one sense. It was an act of our agency, but that agency, that will that we had, was influenced by the Holy Spirit. So do you see, there is not a place in which our will or our person, we could even say that, the seat of who we are, there's not a zone or a place in which that is not being acted upon by either our old nature or the Holy Spirit and our new nature. He's the one who quickens us, who makes us alive, and then gives us the ability spiritually to see the gospel and to believe in Christ and to trust in His name. This is why if you were to, in a theologically spiritual microscope, so to speak, really see how salvation is parsed, you would see that the very first thing that happens is, first of all, conviction by the Holy Spirit, and then regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Once He regenerates our hearts and gives us the ability to believe, then we do exercise that ability. We believe, we put faith in Christ, and we experience conversion. Then, of course, adoption into God's family. All these things happen in a second. So it's hard to divide them up when you're looking at them just in the moment of experience. And I think that's on purpose. I don't think it's helpful at times to, in the moment, try to parse this out in a way that makes it complicated. In the moment of salvation, yes, it does look like someone hears the gospel and then of their own free volition, they choose to trust Christ and they do when they're born again. It looks like that. But in the most microscopic manner, the only reason they could have turned to Christ and believed in Him and repented and trusted is because the Holy Spirit acted upon their will and gave them the faith to believe, the sight to see, because their eyes were blinded. This is why Paul would ask us to pray, he says in one of the epistles, to pray that God would open the eyes of those who are blind to the gospel, whose eyes are blinded by the evil one. So in that passage, he also expresses how the human nature is being acted upon by our old nature, and so we can't see. But the minute the Holy Spirit quickens or makes us alive, we can see. Once we see, we are drawn, we are compelled, and we believe, we trust. And so conversion follows regeneration. That's the picture of salvation. What's not in this picture, again, I'm being somewhat technical, but I think it's important to understand this idea, this rebuttal of a free will. What's not in the picture is this free space, this free zone in which we're just kind of floating, and we can kind of decide we want to believe or not believe. We're not being influenced by anything. It's my decision. That's kind of the rebuttal people give. And so this is why I say the issue is not, do we have a will? We all do. We have an agency. We have the ability to make decisions. But all of our decisions at every point in our life is influenced by something. So by definition, it is not free. And the moment that we become a Christian, that we believe in Christ, our person or our nature has been acted upon by the Holy Spirit, and we now have a new nature and we believe. Prior to that, all of our decisions have been influenced by our old nature. And so I just want to bring you this today to make sure you understand that when we think about election, we think about God's choosing, I think a false rebuttal is the idea, well, don't I have a free will? The answer to that is no. No one has a free will. But yes, we do have a will, and it's always being acted upon by either our old nature or the new nature, the Holy Spirit, of course. The moment the Holy Spirit acts upon us in that very first moment, initially, then we're drawn to Christ. Our eyes are opened, and we believe, and He begins to change us. Prior to that, all of our decisions come from the influence of our old nature and the sinful world, the flesh, the devil. And so do you see how there really can be no free will? But yes, there is a will. And so I think as we think about election, God's choosing, these biblical, theological doctrines, we must approach them, even in our desire to kind of, argue against them perhaps. The arguments don't hold up if we continually think that we have a free will. Now, there are those who use that term to refer to something other than perhaps a free space or a neutral zone. And so I'll leave that for another podcast. I just want to make sure that you hear the heart of your pastor, that I don't think there's a free will. I do think we have a will. I do think we have agency. We do have decision-making capacity. God gave us that, just like He does. We're made in His image. But is that will free since the fall? It is not. It's always being influenced by either our nature, our old nature, or God's Spirit, which He's the one who implants in us a new nature. So just factually and definitionally, we don't have a free will. We have an influenced will. And I praise God that the Holy Spirit does influence the wills of human beings when the gospel is preached, when the good news of Christ is shared, whether individually, corporately, across the table at a meal, from the pulpit, in a small group. When the gospel is shared, that's the power of God unto salvation, and it's what opens eyes and changes wills that are bound, and it brings them into submission instead to the will of God and to the beauty of salvation. But there is really no free will. There is simply human will, human nature, that's bound to sin and Satan, and then God acts upon that to free it, so to speak, to give it the capacity and willingness to believe. That's regeneration. And then when our eyes are open, we do, and we confess Christ and believe, and we're Christians. We are born of God. And so if that was perhaps your rebuttal Sunday, if perhaps as I was preaching through this text and talked about God's beautiful choice and how it is underneath our choices and our decisions, be aware if your rebuttal was, but I thought I had a free will, and what about my free will? I would just encourage you to eliminate the word free, because in the most definitional manner and in the most factual way, there is no such thing as a free will. In fact, I'd even add this little bonus. The only people to have ever had a free will, in my opinion, were Adam and Eve. they were in a place where there was simply external temptation from the evil one. They were innocent in the most strict sense of the word and in the most biblical sense of the word. They were innocent. Since Adam and Eve fell, every person born since then has not been innocent, but depraved, guilty, sinful. And so then God acts upon that sinfulness, that will that's influenced by our depravity, with the gospel and through His Spirit to save His people unto Himself. And I'm so thankful that that's how God works, that His will is what always wins.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.